6:22 now, 1320 WILS. General Motors pulling out of Venezuela. Basically, what happened was they had their plants were taken over by the government there, and they said, you know what, we're out of here. And now, well, I want to talk about why that's happening. Let's talk to one of the really a top expert in what's happening in Venezuela right now. It's Miguel Angel Santos. He's a senior research fellow at the Center for International Development at Harvard, and he was born in Venezuela. Miguel, great to have you on WILS.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, when did you leave Venezuela then? How old were you?
Well, I haven't left, mentally never left. Left in 2010. To do a PhD and then got a job in Harvard. And since then, I've been going. I spend 2-3 months a year in Venezuela for various visits.
Is there any major misunderstanding you think we have as Americans on Venezuela?
Well, you don't have the total understanding. It's a very confused situation, though. But,
Now, why would Venezuela do that? Why would they take over GM and run the company right out of their country this way?
Well, first you have to understand what's the situation of the multinational companies operating in Venezuela. Venezuela has cut imports by 75% in the previous 4 years, and that basically means that the country gets out of the oil exports debt service, and whatever is left, they import food. So basically that means that these multinational companies that are still in Venezuela have no parts, no raw materials, and are operating at a barely minimum capacity. They are not allowed to fire workers because there's something called inamovibility law that forbid companies for firing workers under certain salary level.
Okay.
So these multinationals are forced to keep on going without raw materials, without parts.
So are you saying that the GM, are you saying that their assembly plants weren't actually doing any work in Venezuela?
Yeah, I'm telling you that I don't know GM, but the whole multinational car sector manufactured 25,000 cars in the first 2 months of 2008, and this year they had manufactured 25. So, I mean, I'm not saying they're doing nothing, but very close to nothing.
Close to nothing. Incredible. Now, you, we see these protests now, and people are dying in Venezuela. What's life like for the average person there now?
Well, it's very difficult, but it's a country that got used to consuming imports. So the government Chavez used the oil bonanza and hire and multiplied foreign debt by 6. Mm-hmm. And with that, he kept on feeding people while expropriating the whole national apparatus. So now that oil is down and no one wants to lend a dollar to Venezuela, they are forced to live with what they have. And most of the industrial apparatus has been expropriated, run by the government. So we have no way to produce what we consume, and we don't have any money anymore to import.
Then what's the point? So they've taken over the GM assembly plants. What are they going to do with them, you think?
Well, this is all the noise. They do what they have done is they have threatened any private business, national or multinational, that stops working. Basically, they have all stopped working, but formally stops working to take over them. So because General Motors had a lawsuit from the year 2000 pending. And they came out with a resolution of this lawsuit right now, 17 years later, forcing them to pay an amount that the company cannot pay because their Venezuelan operation is producing close to nothing. And this is just an excuse to take over. So what do? They take over, they make a lot of noise, they have all the monopoly of media, radio, and TV. And then they print money to pay the workers, and when the workers go out to buy things, they cannot buy anything, and they starve. That's what they have been doing with the whole country.
That sounds horrible. I mean, is there anarchy happening there? Is that what we're close to?
There's a lot of anarchy. The government armed a lot of paramilitary groups, and Chavez even prized militias that he formed and armed in the event that he got threatened, and now they have lost a grip of them. So there's a lot of violence going on in the country. There's a lot of looting in very poor neighborhoods of Caracas, And chaos is total. Last night, they killed 11 people in a very poor neighborhood in Caracas called El Valle, where people basically came out at night and tried to loot whatever was left in the few stores that were around.
Okay, so it's a
totally chaotic situation.
You own a house in Venezuela now?
Well, my parents still live there.
And
not in the capital, but 2 hours to the west of the capital in a city called Valencia. They still live there, yeah.
Okay, and how concerned are they for their own lives right now?
Well, if you have savings abroad, you sell dollars, you know, there are three prices for the dollar. Mm-hmm. 10 bolívares per dollar in the official market, and then 3,500 in the parallel market.
Wow.
So basically, people having savings abroad and having the chance to sell those in the black market can get around with some goods. For others that do not have the chance, they have been losing lots of weight, and there's a lot of hunger, and there's a shortage of medicine across the whole country that is very large and very dramatic.
Is there anything you think the U.S. should do at this point?
Well, I'm not sure. I guess what the U.S. should do is not doing anything by itself, but trying to have, and I guess it's part of what they've been doing so far, trying to get some other Latin American countries that were bought off by Hugo Chavez to come forward and make pressure at OAS to have a mediation in Venezuela that ends up with a sort of an electoral schedule that we get to vote these guys out of office.
Okay. Is it a governmental problem? But what about the economy? Even if you change governments, how are you going to resolve the economic problems?
I mean, with the only source of money that Chavez did not deplete was the International Monetary Fund, World Bank, and other multilaterals, because they will put conditions to him. So with a new administration, we will have to tap into these sources, look for international financing, and get the economy back on track.
Yeah.
It's not difficult. It's just that at the time, the country has been kidnapped by a very small and corrupt elite that keeps citizens starving.
And you say your parents live there. Is that the only reason you keep going back, or...?
No. If they weren't there, I will keep on going back the same way. I'm just interested in helping get Venezuela back on track.
It's Miguel Angel Santos. He's a senior research fellow at the Center for International Development at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. He's actually at the IMF meeting this weekend. Unfortunately, we're not enough time to talk about that part. But, Miguel, let's talk again. Thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
Thank you.
Yep, and 6:30 now. When we come back, we're going to break down what's happening with Trump's tax proposal. We'll hear from John LeBoutillier, former Republican congressman, and get his take on that. Also, body language. You'd be amazed what you can learn about what someone's actually telling you, the truth of what they're telling you, based on what their eyes and hands or bodies are doing. That's next.